anytime somebody, one of our federal representatives is coming to town, I kind of Google them just to see what the main topics are these
Good.
Days and
Good.
What I should ask about. And man, it's like 100% Kavanaugh right now. So you might be sick of talking about that. But and I understand you're still in the vetting phase.
Yep. There is obviously a lot of discussion about the president's nominee to the Supreme Court with the retirement of Justice Kennedy. All eyes are on Kavanaugh, and all eyes are on those that are involved in the role of advice and consent. That's the United States Senate. And I have taken an approach to this nomination that is similar, if not identical, to what I have done with the process for Judge Gorsuch, Judge Kagan, Judge Sotomayor, Justice Roberts. I take a considered and thorough review of the nominee. I look at their work, their opinions, their backgrounds. I meet with them and ask them. I take the time to really do my homework before I meet with them. I listen to what goes on in the committee hearings, and I make a decision in terms of where I'm going to come down on advice and consent. I have been the subject of a great deal of media activity. Me and Susan Collins have yet to align ourselves pro or con on this judge. And I'm not going to speak for Senator Collins. I will only speak for myself. But if you want to accuse me of being thorough and doing my homework, I stand guilty of that and am very comfortable with the place that I am in. Judge Kavanaugh comes to this process with really quite extraordinary background in the sense that he has been on the D.C. Circuit now for 12 years. He has authored 307 separate opinions and dissents on matters all over the board that are important. Many opinions that have great relevance to Alaskans who care about whether it's Second Amendment, whether it's women's reproductive health, whether it's issues of climate, whether it's issues of environment, executive authority. He has written extensively. And so I am reviewing. And when I say I'm reviewing, I'm reading the opinions. I feel like I'm back in law school again. And that's okay. So the benefit that Judge Kavanaugh has is that he does have a lengthy record, not only on the bench, but in his time within the Bush administration. But that's also a great drawback because he has been a prolific writer. So there is so much to review. And I think it is important that we actually take the time to review that. So what's happening in the Senate right now is the records request. Obviously, the opinions that have been out there are available for anyone to see. The records from the Bush administration have to come from the Bush Library, and that document's request is underway. But with regards to just those records from Judge Kavanaugh's previous writings, speeches, and then his position in the office of general counsel, we're talking close to a million pages of documents. And these are requests that have been made by the Republicans. This is not the part that we're fighting with the Democrats over in terms of how much is too much in terms of a records request. So the review will be considerable. A hearing in the Judiciary Committee has not yet been set. It won't happen until at least after Labor Day, and it may be later than that because of the voluminous records that the committee will be going through. I'm going to have an opportunity to sit down with Judge Kavanaugh in the next couple weeks here. I'm looking forward to that, and I've enjoyed the opportunity to kind of reimmerse myself in matters of law. It's been an important time to really understand. Some people have said, well, Lisa, you voted for him in 2006 when he went to the circuit court. What's the difference now? The difference is 12 years of opinions, 12 years of kind of laying down a guidance for us to look at. We didn't have that benefit before. And so I'm taking my role of advice and consent very, very seriously. And I think all members of the Senate should do so, because we're talking about a lifetime appointment to the highest court in the land, and we want to do right.
I see on social media a lot of people talking about this. What is it that you're hearing from constituents on this particular topic? I assume you're getting quite a bit.
I am. I'm getting feedback as I'm going around the state. People are coming up to me in the airport and weighing in pro or con, yes or no. And I ask them, I said, you know, obviously, You feel strongly enough to approach me with your opinion on this. Tell me why you feel that he is so compelling, or the reasons to vote against him are so compelling. And so I'm trying to understand where Alaskans are coming from on this. We held called it Access Alaska, which was like a tele-town hall a couple weeks ago, not even maybe less than 10 days or so ago. Reaching out to hundreds of Alaskans and hoping that they would provide that input. Obviously, we get a fair amount of phone calls, emails, letters coming in from people. And, you know, I understand that the media campaigns that are out there are significant. There's a lot of dollars that are being spent by outside interests to weigh in to influence me. In fairness, what influences me are the expressions from the people that I work for from Alaskans, and also the very considered review that I'm going to be doing, and then the one-on-one sit down with this judge. So we are hearing from Alaskans, and I welcome that input.
And another topic that's a little more close to home and that just recently happened is the attempt at making an Alaska-specific roadless rule.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you were working toward when you brought the Secretary of Agriculture here.
Yeah.
And it seems to have borne fruit. So if you want to address that a little bit.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you were able to join us on that quick trip with the Secretary of Agriculture over to Prince of Wales. It was important for him to not only see the facts on the ground, to listen to some of the community members about their concerns, to go out to Viking and look at their mill there, to go to a smaller mom and pop out in Goose Bay, to really get a sense as to the impact to the southeastern economy, and to hear from his own folks within Forest Service. And the outcome from that quick but very important visit was a commitment to work with the state as a partner in advancing a state-specific roadless plan. So a memorandum of agreement was executed last week between the federal and the state. You will see I don't know whether we're calling it a steering committee or task force or executive committee, what we will dub it, but this will be on the state side working with the federal entities to really identify how we can best gain access to not only timber, but also access to be able to build out renewable resources, access other resources within the Tongass, but to set forth a plan that allows for protection within the Tongass where appropriate, and recognizing that so much of the Tongass is off limits as wilderness. That will not be adjusted or impacted in any way by this plan. But in the other areas of the Tongass that have been roaded previously, to be able to set forth a plan with this framework that has been laid down. It will it will require, and we encourage the public participation that will move forward. But I think that folks within the region should expect to be brought in to this process in I think a very collaborative way. But what has been impressive to me is to see the level of commitment from this administration, from this secretary, from his team, from the very top, translated all the way down to the folks on the ground, to work with the state to again, allow for a level of access that is going to work to benefit the people in the region, to allow for what we all expect out of a multiple-use forest, but to recognize that not only timber harvest, but the recreational uses within our forest and access to whether it's renewable energy opportunities, that we can build this all together, but let's do it together.
I saw in the news release from the U.S. Forest Service on this process that some other states have their own roadless, state-specific roadless rules. That's not something that I was aware of previously. So it's not without precedent.
It is not without precedent. In fact, Idaho was the first, is the first in the country to have their own state-specific plan. And Senator Jim Risch, who I serve with currently, was governor of Idaho at the time that that plan was put together. His background is in forestry, and he and I have shared a lot about the Tongass experience and what he was able to help facilitate in Idaho. Idaho is a perfect example of how the various interests in the state, on the conservation side, on the industry side, federal, state, government, tribal, everybody coming together to really make a plan that benefits all users. And the model that Idaho has laid down is an important one. Now, it wasn't necessarily quick. They were the first. And so I've been advised on that, and that's why we've got a schedule that's going to be laid down that will kind of walk us through the multiple steps. But Idaho has done it, and other states are looking to do it, Colorado as well. But I think what is significant is the secretary's word that he wants to put the Alaska-specific plan in the queue first, recognizing that it takes a lot of work on agency side, and so he's going to make sure that they've got the bandwidth to help us here in Alaska.
So I understand that this particular break is quite a bit shortened because of all of the work that the Senate has to do, and so you're just here back in the state for a couple of weeks. What are some of the things that you're going to be able to accomplish in that short time frame?
Well, I am one that is less than enthusiastic about the fact that the August work period has been truncated as it has.
I saw a headline, something about the Coalition of the Cranky.
I am the co-chair. I am the leader. I'm the founding member of the Coalition of the Cranky. In order for me to do my job, in order to gain input from people on Kavanaugh, on the state-specific roadless plan, on what's happening with fisheries, on what's happening with water issues around the state, I could do my job by just sitting back in Washington and waiting for Alaskans to fly all the way back there and show me a PowerPoint. I don't operate that way. I don't think that Alaskans benefit. I think when I can get on the ground and spend the time listening to the people in Sitka as I did yesterday, or going over to Metlakatla as I'm going to be doing this afternoon, or here in Ketchikan, or over in Petersburg with the commandant on Friday. These are the times and the opportunity when I can be the most effective senator for Alaskans as possible, is when I'm on the ground. So for me, this is not, quote, a break. It's not a recess as one would define in school. It is a substantive work period that I embrace, and I love it because this is where I get filled up. I get filled up with energy, but I get filled up with good ideas that Alaskans give me. So I get cranky when I'm back in Washington, D.C. Perhaps it's the heat. Perhaps it's the humidity. Perhaps it's just because I am away from the place that I love best. But the commitment has been made. We're going to stay back here. And so I'm going to be a team player. I'm going to be a grumpy team player, but I'm going to be working back there. And what we have on deck is exactly what we have been doing. We have processed 7 of the appropriations bills. We are on deck to process 2 more of them when we get back next week. When we're done with those 9 of 12, we will have moved through about 87% of the discretionary spending within the budget. We haven't done this in decades. We have not advanced these measures in this time period in decades. So this really is historic. It really is a change in the process. It really is getting back to business. Nobody hears about it because it's actually been bipartisan. We moved our Interior Appropriations Bill across the floor with the other 3 appropriations bills by 92 votes. Unheard of. And it doesn't really make the news because it was cooperation. We were actually governing. We were actually doing our work. So we're doing that. We're making it happen. We passed the Defense Authorization Bill just before we left. That's going to be signed into law very, very quickly. We're going to continue to work with confirmation of not only judicial nominees, but nominees within the administration that for positions that have not yet been filled out. So we'll continue with that. But as I do my job in Washington, D.C., I also need to do my job here in Alaska. And that's going to mean you're going to see me on the airplane back and forth between Washington, D.C. and Alaska on the weekend. So I might be a little more tired than usual, but I promise I won't be grumpy when I'm here in Alaska.
The article I read described it as a vacation, but from my understanding of our congressional delegation, you guys don't spend much of that time like sitting around on a beach.
No. In fairness, this time is up to a member's discretion. A senator or a congressman can do with it as they will. I know what I do with it. I fill up every minute of every hour of every day getting around the state. It's interesting because we have a lot of others who want to come to Alaska. We've got the Commandant that is here this week. We have the Secretary of the Navy, the Secretary of the Air Force. We have a commissioner of the FCC that is currently on the ground. We have the acting director of the IHS that is going to be here. We hope to have the Secretary of Housing. And our reality is they're going to be here, and we're going to be in Washington, D.C. for much of that. Now, I'm going to be with the Commandant here for a couple days, and that's good. But this is again part of our job is to allow these agency people, these heads of departments, an opportunity to see these issues firsthand. And it can be very effective if we can be moving around the state with them and sharing Alaska's stories directly with them. So yeah, this is no break. This is no vacation. This is a work period, and it's been shortened. And again, you know, if I were in charge, we we would all be working back in our home states.
Yeah.